Have you ever had an experience in your life that if you told the story, it would seem unreal? Or elements of the story would seem unreal? You may even have to begin to tell the story by saying something like this: you may not believe this is true. I have multiple stories like that that I can say this morning. You may not believe this is true, but I've been struck by lightning. You may not believe this is true, but I stepped on a nail one time and drove it completely through my foot. You may not believe this is true, but I've been shot at. You may not believe this is true, but I've been attacked by a 185-pound dog by the throat, thrown to the ground, and then ripped a piece of my leg off. So I still got the scar today. You may not believe this is true, but I have wrecked ATVs, motorcycles, cars, and trucks, and yet to break a bone. You may not believe this is true, but I took a front-on collision with my dirt bike onto an F-250 at about 35 miles an hour and did not break a bone. I did break my motorcycle and my dad's grill. I have been tossed in the air by a 1,700-pound bull and then driven into the ground by the same bull. You may not believe this is true, but I almost drowned. I found myself rescued by my brother and a friend, or I wouldn't be here today. You may not believe this is true, but I've been on fire. I'm not talking Holy Spirit fire. I'm talking physical fire. We all have stories that we may think, well, you may not believe this is true. And each one of those stories that I could go into, and they're fact. That's all happened to me. They're all true stories. And you may have stories that are very similar to that, or remarkable, incredible stories. Incredible stories of miraculous things that have been done in your life. Things that you've lived through, things that you've come through. Incredible stories, remarkable stories. But there is one story that seems to be so unreal that the individuals that were there couldn't even believe that it was true at first. One day, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering, what in the world is going on here? While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. I'm telling you, these women are saying, you may not believe this is true. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Amen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense to them. This is nonsense. What have you guys been drinking? The word can be twaddle. It's my new word for the week. This is twaddle. This is a tale. This is too bizarre. Okay, maybe his body is missing. We got that. Maybe somebody took it or you went to the wrong tomb. But you got to tell me an angel showed up and told you that he had raised from the dead. This is nonsense. The 11 said that. It's too incredible. It's too incredible. Even the 11 could hardly believe that he had risen from the dead. The story of the risen Jesus seemed to be nonsense. We saw him crucified on Friday. We saw the guard pierce his side with a sword. We saw the blood and the water run out down his side. We saw him taken off the cross. And we saw him put in the tomb. His body may be gone, but I don't know how he can be risen. This is crazy. Jesus is risen. And I wonder what their hearts were saying. Perhaps they did not dare think that this could be true. Maybe they were struggling. I don't know if this actually could be true. Could this actually be true? Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever. Could that actually be true? The 11 were wrestling with this incredible news. Crazy, yes. Nonsense, no. I've entitled today's message, Crazy Truth. And as I started to unpack that story, and I went back through Jesus' life, and I found that the vast majority, if not all of Jesus' life, is crazy. At any one point, somebody could say, nonsense! Look what he says in Galatians. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. If you don't have a little piece of, that's crazy, then you didn't hear it. You didn't hear all that's packed in those few verses. The truth, that's crazy truth. You've got to be kidding me. We take it just, yeah. I don't think we ever wrestle with the truth that's in that verse. We're not supposed to wrestle with it. We're in church. I think you can wrestle with it because it'll win. The truth that's wrapped up in that verse sounds crazy. And if you don't have the little bit of, that sounds crazy, I don't think we're reading the verse solely and purposefully and clearly as we should. But when the time had fully come, God, push the button. But when time had fully come, God. Let's just start there. But when the time had fully come, God stepped toward you. When the time had come, God made the step toward you. You are not seeking God. God is seeking you. God's doing all the legwork. If you don't think that's not bizarre, that the God cares so much for you, Julia, that He's seeking you. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. God, that spoke creation into existence, is looking for you. He's seeking you. When the time has come, He sent. God took the action. God stepped toward you. God stepping toward you. God stepping toward you. God steps toward you, Bill. God steps toward you. How crazy is that? A Zacchaeus moment. Nate, come out of the tree because I'm going to your house. Zacchaeus did not seek. Jesus stopped at his tree. Jesus spoke his name. Jesus called him out of the tree. God is seeking you. The God of all of the universe is saying, I'm going to take a step toward you on this day. That's crazy truth. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Luke 1 says this, but the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. If you don't think that's crazy, you're not hearing it. That one day, God shows up and sends a message into Mary's life. And now's the time. Now is the time. I'm going to send. I'm going to do something. See, now, I'm trying to think, what part of Jesus' life is not crazy? The part where God steps into your life, you don't seek him. If you think, well, I'm seeking God, no, you're not. If you have an inkling of God, he's seeking you. That's why. That's why, because he's calling you. Now, all of a sudden, he shows up in Mary's life and says, you're going to give birth to the Christ child. You're going to give birth, and you're going to name him Jesus. But look what he says in another passage to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What? Do you think that for a moment Joseph had a what? Crazy! Oh no, that's the Christmas story, and our kids acted out, and that's just normal everyday stuff. Really? How about when he shows up to the shepherds and he says this to the shepherds? But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people today. It happened. What he told Mary, what he told Joseph, happened on a particular day. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I wonder if any one of these characters, any one of these people in this story would have said, nonsense! Joseph, nonsense! The angel, the shepherds, nonsense! None of them said that. I think they said crazy truth. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. To redeem means this, to pay the price, to liberate one from the power of another. That's what redemption means. That's what redeem means, to pay the price, to liberate from the power of another. So now, why did he come? It says in the scripture that he was going to save. This is what he's going to do. He's going to liberate you from one power. He's going to liberate you and I. His goal is to liberate or to redeem those. That's what he was sent to redeem. Does anybody else think that's crazy? That's crazy truth. The law was the fence. Look at it this way. The law to redeem you from those who are under the law. The law is like the fence. The law, in order to get outside the fence and have this relationship with the Father, you had to meet all the requirements of the law. You can't do that. You can never do that. God expects it 24/7, 365 days a year. And you were hedged in. You were never going to get to God through the law. You were never going to have this intimate relationship with God through the law. So Jesus, born of a woman, stepped in the side of the fence of the law so he could gather those inside the fence and he could create a gate outside of the law so you and I could have a relationship with the Father. Wow. Can you imagine hearing that for the very first time? And maybe you are right now. Maybe you're hearing that for the very first time. That God is seeking you. God is after you. God is hunting you. That's a remarkable story. That he sent his son, born of a virgin, into this world, inside of the fence, so that you could be freed from the law and have an intimate relationship with God. Why? Jesus tells us why. I have come that you may have life, because you need to get outside the fence to have life. And I want you to have life. I come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. You think that's crazy? It's crazy. It's not nonsense. Because that's why he came. He came so that you may have life and have it to the fullest. He said, that's why I agreed to this. That's why I was born of a woman. That's why I came. That's why I came. And I jumping ahead to the story, that's why I did not stay dead. Because I came that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Because I wanted you to have life. Because because I love you. And I wanted to give you life. Is it okay if I give you life? Sounds crazy, but God wants to give you life. That Jesus came, He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. We've said that over and over and over. That God is seeking you so much so that he wants to give you life. Push the button. Because you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He made you alive. How did he do that? He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the written code, you know what the written code is? Your guilty verdict. You know what that means? You're guilty of sin. You got a sin guilty verdict on your soul. And Jesus wanted to give you life. Don't let me muddy the waters this morning. You have a guilty verdict on your soul. It's called sin. And Jesus wanted to give you life, so he needed to deal with that sin so that he could give you life, because you can't have sin and life at the same time. You're going to have one or the other. You're going to have one or the other. And Jesus says, I want you to have a choice. Right now, you're stuck inside the law. So let me get inside the law and let me paw myself around. Let me do what I've been called here to do so I can give you life. Because I want to give you life, because the sin has got you hedged in. And I want to do something for you because I want to give you life. I want to give you life. But I got to do something with that guilty verdict that's on your soul. And so what did he do? He forgave us our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us and that stood opposed to us. Do we understand what that means? It said that was a guilty verdict in all of the heavenlies, and I needed to do something so you could be freed from that guilty verdict. Look what he did. Push the button. Look what he did. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities of the guilty verdict, he made a public spectacle, not of you, but of them. You no longer have control of Tyler Hall. I'm telling you right now, I have nailed his guilty verdict to the cross. You can badger him all you want, but you're not going to. I exposed you. I made a public spectacle out of you. You no longer have control of him. Because I freed him from that.
Amen.
I've given him life.
Amen.
That's crazy truth. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of children or sons. You know what's interesting there too, that terminology is you're all firstborn sons. There is no secondborn. There is no middle child. There is no baby of the family. We are all, in Christ, we are all firstborn children. We all get what firstborn children get in this day and age. He said that you, that we may receive the full rights of sons. I want to give you the full rights of sons. Full rights, the firstborn. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. That's the kind of stuff he's preparing for you. That's the kind of stuff that's before you. The anointing, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He said, I want to give you all that a son gets. I want to give you life. I took away your sins. I nailed it to the cross. So you can have life. So sin wasn't dragging you into the gutter anymore. And I'll give you the right of the sons. I've given a table prepared before you. Right here, right now, it's before you. You have the right as a son to come to my table. Praise be, and Ephesians says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You got it. He's prepared a table before you. Oh, man, I want to give him life. God, let me go. Father, let me go. I'll be born of a woman. I know it, you gotta clear that with Mary. I know it sounds like crazy truth, but you told them a few hundred years ago that this was going to happen. Let's do it now, Father. Let's do it now, Father. I'm ready to go, Father. I'm ready to go. You're going to have to talk to Joseph because he's off on the ledge somewhere. Don't worry, I got him. I'll send him an angel too. He's going to think it's crazy, but he's in cahoots with me. Just so you know, I'm going to tell the shepherds first, just the working guy. Because they're the guys that are going to believe. They watch the stars. They're out there. I'm just going to show up in their life, and I'm going to tell them. Thank you, Father. Thank you that I can go. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord, Jesus says. I'm ready to give life and give it to the fullest. I'm ready to give a sonship and make them your children, Father. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready for them to be able to come to the table prepared before them in the presence of their enemy. Just the same table, Father, that I eat from. I'm ready for siblings to come. I'm ready for siblings to come. I've got no sibling rivalry in my life. I want them all, God. I want them all. I want them all, God. I want to give them life. Let me go, Father. Let me go, Father. Verse 6 of Galatians says this, because you are sons, hang on, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Amen. And the Spirit, can you imagine the Spirit, can you imagine that board meeting? Can you imagine with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And then Jesus said, God, Father, let me go. And Spirit said, let him go. Woo! I've been all penned up. Man, I want to give these people something. Can you let him go, Father? So I can go. Because I want to give them power. Superhuman performance. Push the button. I want to give them power. I want to give them revelation. See, it's not that we're all that in a bag of chips. It's that God is all that in a bag of chips. It's that God loves us. It's not generated because we're lovable, because, just frankly, you're not that lovable. It's because He loves you. And the Holy Spirit loves you. And Jesus loves you. Can you imagine just wrestling in your mind that those the Trinity were talking about redemption of mankind, was talking about it, was talking about each of their positions, and Jesus says, oh, I'm ready to go, Father. And the Spirit says, woo, let me in on this. I want to give them power. I want to give them revelation. I want to give them wisdom. I want to give them conviction, and I want to give them guidance in all truth, and I want to produce love and joy and peace and patience and so forth and so on in their life. I want to do that, Father. Let me go. And I want to help them to know that they have an Abba Father, which we know that means dad. I want them to know. The Spirit says, oh, I want them to know they don't just have a heavenly authoritative father. They got a dad. Can I go? Verse 7 says this, so you are no longer. Why? Because I'm a son. Because my guilty verdict has been nailed to the cross. Because that has made me a son. Oh, I don't deserve it. It's not up to you. Whether you deserve it or not is above your pay grade. So then shut up. God chooses that. And when you say I'm not worthy, you're saying, sorry, God, you're second fiddle to me. Because I know better than you. You're in the wrong chair, baby. Get over in the other chair. Let God sit in his chair. Let him choose you because he's looking for you. Because he wants to give you life. He wants to make you a son. He wants you to sit at his table. He wants you to eat from his table. He wants to give you victory over the sin. He wants to set you free. He wants you to give you the Holy Spirit so that you can know that you've got an Abba Father, that you can have this intimate relationship with the Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You know what an heir is? Someone who gets something that they didn't work for. That is an heir. You get stuff from your parents, perhaps. You did not work for it. But you're an heir. You get it because you're their child. Not because you made the payments. Because you're their child. And there are things that God has in store for you and me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. Why? Because you are his child and he has made you an heir. Why do you get to go to heaven when you die? Because that's part of what you get. God has made you also an heir. You've received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So here we go in Galatians 4, 4 through 7 is this, in short. God sent his Son to redeem you, to make you his child, to give you the Holy Spirit, to give you an Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave. You're a child of God. You receive grace upon grace upon grace upon grace from the living Savior that trampled over death by death. He is a living Savior. He is in the world today. This is the gospel. Look at the word Romans says. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in God will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over them all and richly blesses all who call upon his name. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. By you this morning. You ready to get out of the tree that you're in? Are you ready to stop playing Zacchaeus? Because Jesus is at the bottom of your tree. Amen. And he says, I want to go to your house today. I want to go to your house today. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. You know what saved means? We talked about it on Wednesday night. Free from the power and the penalty of sin. Do you want him to take your guilty verdict and nail it to the cross? Tell him that. Just tell him that today. I want you to take my guilty verdict and nail it to the cross. I want to be freed. I want to be your child. Tell him that. The next verses say this. Let me finish with this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Oh, that's a good question. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? That's an even probably better question. And how can they hear unless someone preaches or tells them? How can you know unless someone tells you? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You know what the good news is? The gospel. We've been hauling stuff out of this box for, this is the fifth week. I'm going to make your feet beautiful today. What I pull out of this box is going to make someone hug you. I'm telling you right now, you're going to get a hug from what I pull out of this box. You're going to get a smile. You're going to get a big thank you. And it costs you nothing. When I pull, you're going to get something that you get to give to someone else that costs you nothing. And you get to deliver it to them. You want to know what it is? These are all $50 gas cards. $3,600 on this board. Not purchased by you. And you get one to give to someone else. How cool is that? Just so you know, there was a couple people that purchased all of these. Two! It's already paid for! Here's the card. Here's what the card says. Please receive this already paid for $50 worth of gas. You get to give it to somebody. And please don't get all holier than thou. Oh, I don't need one. I'm not saying you need one. It ain't for you. If I thought you needed one, I'd come to you after the service. I said, I think you need $50. And just so you know, I can prove that because I brought $50 with me today. I'm ready to give you $50 if you need it. This ain't for you. So please don't get all humble. It's not your time to be humble. And I want to give one of these to every family that's in this room. And you're going to get to make somebody's day smile. Isn't that sweet? Here's what it says. And please, just so you know, I'm changing my terminology. Just so you know, I'm changing my terminology. Salvation is not free. Salvation is already paid for. Amen. As are these cards. Just so you know, These aren't $10 cards. They're $50. Already paid for. All you got to do is bless somebody with it today. It's a great day to do it. It's Easter, for crying in the mud. It's a great day to stop by the gas station and say, hey, it ain't for you, man. It's for somebody. The cool part of it is you get to figure that out. I'm going to get somebody. You want to help me? Each family. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I get to give these babies out. Jeff, this is sweet because we didn't pay for them. And this is what it says. This is Romans 3. One to each family. Can you help me? If you live closer to a Sheetz, there's Sheetz cards here as well. Get go, Sheetz. This is what it says. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in the same way. No matter who we are or what we have done. Isn't that a beautiful message? Just so you know, this is going to be really cool. I wonder if there'll be a line at Get-Go on the way out of here. Just say, hey, I just need to stop and give you these. Is there any family in here that did not get one? Did you get one? For real? I better give you that.
Okay.
I'm not leaving there. I'm not leaving here with these. These are not staying in a drawer from this day forward. These were purchased so that you could bless somebody. And you're going to bless somebody whether you like it or not. Can I say it again? It costs you nothing. Isn't this fun?
Yes. Hey.
So you know what I'd like to do? When I'm giving away candy kisses last week, and I come to a kid, they were like climbing all over me. They were like jumping on the seat with their hand. You know, I wish I could be like that. You know, I wish I wasn't so adult. It's like, okay, very high. For crying out loud, it's free. This is like the candy they throw out at the parade. I hate it when they can't throw candy out anymore because little kids might get run over. You know why little kids get run over? Because they're excited about what's going on. the service ends when I get these out. I'm just telling you, when this service ends is when I hand out the rest of these cards. So you may want to get a little more. Yeah, yeah. See, nobody wants to stick out their hand. Everyone, see, there you go. See, yeah, see? Amen. Amen. All right, now let's pray. Stand with me. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person in this room. And not only that, but we just handed out 72 cards. There are 72 people that are going to get blessed with a $50 gas card sometime today or in the very, very near future. And Father, I don't know if it's going to be someone just random at the gas station or someone that you have put on our hearts already that we just want to go to and give them something. And Father, help us to be that passionate about the gospel. Because Jesus, you came to nail our guilty verdict to the cross, to make us sons and daughters, to give us the Holy Spirit, that we would know that we have a dad and not just a heavenly father. And Jesus, you did not stay dead. You raised from the dead so that a living Savior can give us life. I'm praying in Jesus' name that these 72 find their way to the person not only needs gas, but needs Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Easter. Have a great day.